Okay, hello. My name is George. In the studio today, we have Jesse Keeler from the band Death From Above. Jesse, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So first thing I wanted to ask you about, I always knew you guys as Death From Above 1979. Can you explain the name change that I knew you guys just went through?
Well, that lets me know how long you've been a fan for. So when we started our band, was this called Death From Above? And when we were putting out our first album, which I guess was our third release, someone at our record label was concerned that Death From Above was not going to be enough of our own name or something. So that's why we added the 1979. But it's been so long now that we just said to hell with it, thought we'd let it go. So 2 years ago when we were making merch, we stopped adding it, and no one said anything, and here we are now.
All right.
No more 1979.
Awesome. So the new album, Outrage Is Now, came out about a month ago, a little over. Can you tell me, what is the inspiration, if any, behind this album?
That's kind of hard to say because you sort of don't have a complete sense of the record until the record is done. The initial inspiration is just wanting to make songs that you like and that you're happy with, and then over time, you kind of, when you stand back and it's done and you have the perspective of being able to see the whole body of work, then it sort of becomes apparent. But that's about it. I mean, that's about it. I know that's not the most exciting of answers, but that's the truth. And if there is a overall theme, we like to kind of leave that stuff up to the interpretation of the listener. There's no wrong way to take it.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so for me, at least, when I was listening to You're a Woman, I'm a Machine, and The Physical World, it sounds like Outrage is kind of a different, it's kind of pushing the boundaries of the sound, you know, with new, almost electronic type of stuff in it. Was that on purpose? Did you guys purposely try to get away from the old techniques and maybe, like, incorporate some stuff from Mastercraft or any other groups?
It's funny you say that because there's probably more synths on The Physical World or on You're a Woman, I'm a Machine than there is on this record. We sort of tried to strip this one down a lot more. The Physical World was, I guess there's piano on every record, but The Physical World in Trainwreck was the first time we really got into using the piano and then, you know, putting the piano on the sampler to play live. So that kind of let us know that we could do that stuff. And it's more of just all of the things that we have learned over the last few records just being applied and also being recorded incredibly well by Eric Valentine. So I guess it appears that way, but I'm pretty sure even on You're a Woman, I'm a Machine, I was sort of synth happy back then, and there's probably something on every track.
Oh, wow. All right.
And also bongos on that first record. There's like
really? Congas
and all kinds of cowbells, and we were always putting a ton of extra sounds on things back then. I don't know why.
Cool. So the goal, or maybe not the goal, but you were trying to strip it down, keep it like drum and bass straightforward? Is that about right?
We just wanted to leave more space. Like, I think all sounds mean more when they're not clouded up by a bunch of other stuff. And there's aspects of You're a Woman, I'm a Machine. When I listen to it, it bugs me because I'm like, why did I add so much X? Like, why did I let there be so much room sound on the bass? Like, why? What? I'm not ashamed of the sound. Why did I have to cloud it up so much? But it was just, I think it just comes with experience, and as you become more confident in the sound palette, I didn't feel the need to sort of have a ton of junk happening at once all the time.
Yeah. You touched upon this earlier, but I would say that Outrage, of all the three albums, the big albums, I guess you could say, it sounds the most huge and massive, and it's really impressive to me. It's just a bass and a drum, and that sounds really amazing how big it is. Is there anything like specific with the recording that is giving you this massive sound, which is such a almost minimalist approach to it.
That is you got it, man. That is the trick. The trick is letting the sounds be by themselves. And the less things you have, the more time you spend on each of those things, because they're all so important. So by leaving the space, you get the sense of the size, right? Like if you have, it's like the difference between a sparse painting and something that is absolutely jammed full of information and color and things happening everywhere. By letting the sounds just kind of be out there by themselves, they all sound enormous. And part of me wishes I could re-record all the records this way.
Awesome. So, on Outrage, do you have any favorite tracks? Anything you like above all the else?
It's hard. It's like choosing a favorite kid, but there's aspects of things that I'm really happy with. And there's in terms of like things that I like to play live a lot. I really like the whole bridge section in Holy Books, which was almost like written in a stream of consciousness. And I love how it turned out and how it pulls the song into like this sort of sad place that I'm really happy about. I love Never Swim Alone, because it was like an experiment for me to see how little I could do and still be excited about it. And my younger daughter is convinced that she's the one playing the drums on Never Swim Alone, because when I was making the demo, she was in the studio with me and she was bored, so I gave her a snare drum. And I guess when I was tracking the bass and the drums, she was playing along on the snare, because she's actually a pretty good drummer. And then afterwards, when I'd be listening to the demo, she said, "Dad, can you put on a song that I did the drums for?"
That's awesome.
So your daughter's... That has a soft spot for me.
Your daughter's learning the drums.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Super cool. So with the physical world, when you completed that, your third piece of work, how did that feel?
The physical world, did you say?
The physical world, yep.
It feels good, man. I feel like we are comfortable in our own skin now, and the record sounds like it. It's sort of where we've been at mentally for a while, and we wanted to have a record that represented that and represented where we are at in terms of our relationship with the thing that we've made. And I think it's the most it feels like it's the most us. It is really just our playing out there laid bare, and it sounds rad. So we didn't have the confidence to make a record like this years ago.
Awesome. That's great. And going off of that, where do you see you guys going in the future?
You know, same. More shows, more music. I never stop writing. I'm always writing songs, so I've already got a few more, a bunch more. I would be making music if no one was paying attention, and I was doing that for many, many years. And I always will be doing that as long as I got ears. And so I'll just keep making music, and if people keep wanting to hear it, then I'll keep playing it for them.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I'll be listening for sure, definitely. So you have a tour going on right now. You're coming to Silver Spring, Maryland on October 28th, just at the end of the month. How's it feel being on tour? What's it like? What's your favorite thing?
I used to not be crazy about going on tour, partially because as a musician, I felt like all I was doing was just performing songs that I'd already written. So sort of the creative aspect had ended at that point. But in the last few years, in terms of how we dealt with the songs from the physical world when we took them out live, is we didn't just try to perform them as they were on the record. We let them become more. We were comfortable with the change, with the songs changing and evolving. And so every night became an opportunity for me to see how I can make those songs better and more interesting for me and hopefully for the audience. And that's just sort of been the way we've been playing for a few years now, to the point where when I listen to the physical world and You're a Woman, I'm a Machine, I'm like, oh, that's the old way we played those songs. The way the songs now exist for me as something different is how we've changed them, how they've become. And so having a new record and getting to go out and tour it is for me exciting now, because it gives me an opportunity to do that with this new batch of songs. And even in how we've been performing some of the songs from the new record already in the festivals and things we've been playing, I've got to do that. And I already prefer the live version, you know? So for me, tour now, I've actually, it sounds cheeseball, but I've never been as excited to tour as I am for this tour. We have the best crew ever. I feel like they're all part of the band. We know exactly how to do what we're doing. We're built for it. I've been touring since 1996. If I don't have it by now, I'll never get it. And it's just a fun time, and getting to continue to be creative is really unlocked the door for me, and it changed touring forever. So I love it now.
That's great. So it's always improving, always writing.
Yeah, and the last time we were in Silver Springs, it was my birthday, and I had a really bad cold, so I'm planning to not be sick or have cake when in Silver Springs this time.
So you've been to Silver Springs before? The Fillmore?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we played there with Black Rebel Motorcycle Club.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you've been there. Are there any new places you're going to, uncharted territory?
No, man, at this point, I've pretty much played everywhere. Unless this tour was going to Alaska, I've got them all crossed off the list.
That's awesome. All right, so I think that's all we have time for, so I'll just end it there. Thanks for being here. Thanks so much. It's been great.